Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the November 3rd edition. Wow. Where did October go? It's like we just started bow season and we're already a month in, but if it's your thing, man, now is the time. It is prime. Well, I'm hunting anyway this time of year. But I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. You are listening to Grilling Guys. What's cooking, man?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Before we get going with our special guest here today, I just want to say something. I need to give a shout out to my bride because I've been complaining about this 16-month building project, and it's only 16 months because I decided to do so much myself.
Right.
I mean, I asked for it. I shouldn't bitch. But here's the deal. This girl has learned how to do almost every job you could imagine on a job site. She has got the gumption and fortitude. She can tile. She now can do cove molding 45s, mm-hmm. which is a bitch.
It's a compound miter.
And we were making box shelves the other night, and I just wanted to give a little shout-out there to all the ladies in the crowd that helped their husbands around the house or husbands who helped their wives around the house. A tit for tat.
Right. You got one more big project, though, brother. We're going to be bringing those cabinets to you here in a couple weeks.
Oh.
And then we'll get those hung.
That's what I'm going to become.
My best buddy, because
you want
me to... cabinet
hanger.
Right.
No, I got my buddy, my cousin coming in from Detroit.
Okay.
He's got a cabinet shop over there.
Well, there you go.
Mike Butler. You'll have to meet him.
Right.
And he loves the Smyrna...
Even better.
He loves the Smyrna bar, so I'm taking him there after we hang the cabinet.
I was going to say after, not before, right? Plum and Square doesn't go good with craft beer. Speaking of which, right... Justin is joining us from Railtown Brewing. Hey, how you doing, Justin?
Doing real well. Thanks for having us on today.
Well, thanks for making time, brother. Give us a little history of Railtown. Where you at? What you doing? This is not your first rodeo with us, and we're glad to have you back. But
let me preset this.
Okay.
All right. Okay, when we first got rolling, we had a producer named Adam.
Right.
And Adam was like a lackey at Railtown. That's how we knew they were coming on. He was one of their brewer's assistants, kind of deal like that. Great kid. And he turned us on to Railtown right when they opened up. So we've kind of had you on the radar for quite a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a long and short 4 years. So it depends on how you look at it. We'll be 4 years old here in December. We just moved into a brand new facility. Spent 3 years in a strip mall and just built a brand new facility, full kitchen, brand new tap room, brand new brew house. So it's been a very, very busy year for us.
So you are the incarnation of a dream. Right. You and a buddy decided that you wanted to start a brewery, right?
Two software guys that decided to follow their dream and make beer. Yeah.
Your partner's name is Jim.
It is. Jim with a G.
Yep. Jim with a G. Right. He's a double G.
Right. Jim Lee.
Lowercase G.
Is his name. But anyway, so how's that journey been? I mean, I don't need all the gory details, but... You know what? There's a whole lot of our listeners that love craft beer, and there's a subset of those that actually make really good homebrewed beer. And we've been to those festivals. Now, did you guys take that track? Had you been homebrewers before you decided to go big time, or how'd that work?
Yeah, we were basically homebrewers for 4 or 5 years before we decided to open up. Fell in love with the process and just kept following the dream. So I think pretty much every home brewer at some point says, I want to open a brewery.
Well, I think to reverse that, I think every brewer was a home brewer at first because you don't just walk into a big operation and go, hey, let me play with that there thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So but I appreciate the question.
Yeah.
I just had to mock you.
Well, I understand. And our listeners are used to it by now, so it's no big deal. Wasn't completely unexpected. But anyway, Justin, so you homebrewed for a while. And what was the impetus to say we're ready? We're ready to go into our own deal.
It was kind of a bad day at work, really.
There you go.
We had talked about opening a brewery, Jim and I, for a couple of years before that. And, you know, it just finally was the right time. You know, we were both frustrated with the jobs we were in.
And what were you doing?
I was doing web-based software. He was doing enterprise software, so more kind of ERP system type stuff.
Okay.
So,
do you know what that is?
I do. I operate one every day.
And accounting
it's the bane of my
that.
Existence. So I'd much rather talk about beer, okay?
Yeah,
I get that part.
And that was kind of our viewpoint, right? I mean, we spend every day working on something we don't necessarily love doing.
Staring at a computer screen, too.
Yeah.
Right. That's not good for you.
Who doesn't want to make and drink beer every day, right?
Right.
So, I mean, this is what we get to do. You know, we're here on your show. This is work for me. It's a blast, man. We're living the dream.
Good. Good. So Railtown started in a strip mall.
We did, yeah. Right? Yeah, we were one of those strip mall breweries.
How many how many taps did you start out with?
We started out with 5 taps and quickly moved to 10.
Right. And where are you at today?
We've got 16 taps. We've got about 9 of them full. So okay. It's been a process.
Problems just keeping them full, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah, that means you're making good beer.
We got down to 2 beers in August. That was kind of a scary time. And we've rallied quite a bit since then. So we got 9 or 10 on for the most part right now.
So how big is your brew house?
So we moved up from a really tiny 3-barrel system. We're up to a 7-barrel system now. So it's not huge, but it's considerably larger than what we were working
on. Still tough to keep up with a 7-barrel.
Absolutely.
Do you wish you would have jumped up more?
No, it's tough to keep the beer cold. So that's our biggest issue is keg storage. So
really?
We're in a good spot right now. We can keep a lot of variety up with the smaller system, which is what we like to do.
And 7 barrels is like 14 half barrels, which is what you're typically putting it
good
in.
Good math.
Right?
That was quick math, too.
That's Bob math right there. If you're listening, write that down.
No, but you're typically storing in a half barrel, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so 14, that's a pretty good chunk of space.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm saying.
And so then if you multiply it by a number of flavors.
Exactly.
Right?
So if we're trying to keep 16 taps open times 14, quick math there is, 150 roughly kegs.
Right.
So
yeah, that's a lot of space.
That's a lot of kegs.
So you got a pretty big cooler.
We got a pretty big one. It's good enough for about 10 to 12 taps. So
now, are you allowed to send that to restaurants?
Yeah, so we self-distribute in Kent County. We had about 20 or so accounts before we opened the new place, and we've been kind of rallying back with getting our beer stock up. So
right.
You'll start seeing us around town a lot more
in the
next couple months.
Yeah, you don't need to bring it out somewhere if your tap room's empty.
That's correct.
You figured that one out.
We just want to sell beer. We don't really care where we sell it.
You make more in your tap room anyway. I mean,
exactly. The margins are much better.
I watched Founders when they developed, and the brilliance to their scheme was after they, near-death experience. They were ready to go under at one point in time, and then they came out with Dirty Bastard, another story. But they built this new facility, and they put a gigantic tap room in. Why? Because it's $5 a glass instead of, what, $1.30 wholesale you sell a bottle of beer for? I mean, it's like, this is too simple.
Yep.
Jop could crunch the numbers faster.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I like your math, though, Bob. You know what? 7 barrels, half barrels, we got 14 barrels in there. I get it, right? Easy enough. Easy enough. So, Justin, you've got obviously got beer that's popular. What do you lead with?
So, I mean, our big flagship is Citra Warrior. That's
you're
a double IP.
It.
That's what we're drinking right now.
Right.
So that one's kind of led the way since day one. It was a beer that we had on tap the first day. It's a beer that we've continued to have on tap since then.
I can see why. It is so stellar.
So describe,
this one. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big double IPA, a little over 9%, a little over 100 IBUs. Typically, you're going to think that's a pretty bitter beer, but this has quite a bit of sweetness in the finish, so it really balances out the high amount of hops, high alcohol. Drinks really, really smooth.
From other brewers out there, what are your top 3 favorites?
Of not our beers?
Yeah.
Whew. I really like Night Fury from Witch's Hat. We were talking about them before the segment. They make some great beer over there. It's dark beer season, so I'm going to kind of go on a dark beer kick. But Flying Buffalo from Griffin Claw.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
Absolutely. Those guys are just another mind blower.
Absolutely. And then I'm always a sucker for, some good barrel-aged beers. So KBS, CBS.
Yeah, I'm not so big
anything
on
in
that.
A barrel.
Not so big on the that just KBS does nothing for me. I've tried, but I can't dig it. CEO Stout from Right Brain.
I've had. Yep.
I love it.
A lot of variants to that one
love
too.
It. Can you stick around?
Absolutely.
We got to take a break, and we're supposed to be talking about Steelhead next segment. But
beer's just as good. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Okay.